Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In your scriptures, Lord, there are over 7,000 promises, Lord, of how you fail us not. So, Lord, we want to receive from you this evening, or Lord, we want to receive from your word. Prepare our hearts now as we sit and sit at your feet, Lord, and be taught by you, our master. And so, Lord, we give our hearts to you now, Lord. We ask that you would set aside in each one of us the distractions of this day, Lord. Whatever this day has brought, Lord, we cast it aside, and we come to sit at your feet to be taught by you this evening, Lord. So come, Lord. Fill this place, Lord. Fill each one of us, Lord. You have a word for each of us tonight, Lord. So we're here to receive from you, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. We're here to listen, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen. And you may be seated. Thank you, guys. So tonight, we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy, and we will be starting in chapter 3. We will read all of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy tonight, and so you can turn there. And as you're turning there, I want to talk a little bit about the history of 2 Timothy. Now, the background and history of 2 Timothy, it's written by Paul. Paul is the author, and this was most likely his last written letter. Paul was freed from house arrest in Rome in AD 63, and then he traveled to the churches that were underneath his teaching for the next 4.5 years. Paul would then travel to Macedonia, back into Philippi, into Ephesus, Colossae, Laodicea, and again through Asia Minor as he would come back into Ephesus and meet up with Timothy. And then he would leave Timothy there in care of the church there in Ephesus. Paul then again in Corinth would be imprisoned once again. And this would be around AD 67. And this is based on an accusation from Alexander. Paul would be tried, and then he would be brought back to Rome and then imprisoned once again. He would be placed in a dungeon. And in this dungeon cell, the only entrance that he had to the outside world was an 18-inch hole above the top of his cell. And through that 18-inch hole, everything was passed to and from Timothy. His food and his encouragement from the outside world, those who had come to see the apostle. And yes, even this last book written by Paul would be passed through that hole in the ceiling. Now, in the spring of AD 68, Paul would then lose his life for Christ. He would at that point be beheaded for his testimony and witness for Christ. So we'll be studying chapter 3 tonight. Paul is given an exhortation to us and to the church then of the coming apostasy, the apostasy that will be coming upon the church. Now, he is speaking directly to Timothy about what is to come, but as well he is speaking to us, and we will also glean what is to come or what we are seeing now in the church. He is speaking directly about the church. And so let's keep that in mind as we're reading 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. He will exhort Timothy to be prepared for what is to come. We will also see in this study the impact of those hearts whose hearts and eyes are on themselves, as opposed to those whose hearts and eyes are on the Lord. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And we'll begin. And let's pray. Oh, Father, we do come before you, Lord, to hear from your word, Lord. And so, Father, as we dive right into your scriptures, Lord, we ask that you would feed us, your sheep, your lambs, Lord, that you would speak to us through your written word. So we thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I want to stop there for a moment because Paul is mentioning the last days. He is not only referring to the eschatological end of times, or the time in which we believe that we are in, the end of days, but remember that the church has always been looking for the coming of Jesus. Even from the beginning of the church, they were looking for the second coming. They were in anticipation of Christ's soon return. So he is speaking in respect to the church as a whole as he's writing to Timothy. So this was written for Timothy and the churches of the time, also written for us. So from the beginning of the church age, we know that the enemy, from the very beginning, has been set to set division upon the church, to set those in the church that would sit right in the pew and bring division, bring derision, bring false words, bring maybe false accusation, bring a lie to the people of God. And so we're going to study that. So in the last days, in verse 1, perilous times shall come. Now in verse 2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And let's stop there as we kind of look here at verse 2. And we're going to go through each one of these verses, and these are some hard things to read. But we know that all Scripture is used to correct us, to instruct us, to teach us. And so here, let's start right here. Lovers of their own selves. And this term, own selves, is a Greek word, and it's actually one word, not two, own selves. It's the Greek word philautos. And the meaning of this word is one who is too intent on one's own self. Someone who is self-absorbed or selfish. So he's saying in the end to come, they will be lovers of their own selves. People will become selfish. Well, this, as Paul is writing to Timothy, was certainly true of that time. But wouldn't you agree that it's true of the time today? We can see that today, that people are in love with themselves and have a care for themselves. The interesting note is, this is the only place in the New Testament that this word philautos is used. This word selfish ambition is used. The next word, covetous, or lovers of money. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus speaks about this, and he says, and I quote, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one, or be loyal to the one, and despise the other." It goes on to say that you cannot serve God and mammon, or wealth. Simply put, you cannot be loyal to God and to your wealth, or to your own, what you've been able to accomplish. You cannot give God what is God's, and then take and say, well, what I've done, I'll give equally to that. You're going to be loyal to one and hate the other. So he's telling us, in the last days, they will become covetous. Boasters is the next word. To be puffed up, to puff oneself up, to brag about one's accomplishment. Now, if we brag about our own accomplishment, I know, you know, that's easy for us to do. You know, we do something good, and, you know, we get a pat on the back by others, and it's easy to forget who actually did the good. It wasn't I, it wasn't you, it wasn't us. Because we know that it was God, because no good thing happens. We know that none of us are good, no, not one. So if there's good that has happened in my life, in your life, it's God that gets the glory. But if I'm puffed up, if I'm a boaster, the glory's going to myself, and that is the wrong place to be. Remember, we can do nothing without God. All praise and honor goes to Him who is worthy. The next word, blasphemers. To speak of one or addressing one with irreverence, being irreverent, a blasphemer, someone speaking irreverently. And Paul himself actually uses himself as an example in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And he says, quote, "Who was before a blasphemer," speaking of himself, "and a persecutor and injurious or hateful, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly." Paul is reminding Timothy of who he was. He himself was a blasphemer. He himself was one who would go up against the Christians, thinking he was doing what was right, and he would go after the Christians, and he would take them, and he would bring them back into the court. He would bring them to be persecuted, to be taken in bonds, and even unto death. See, God's love and God's mercy is greater. See, even God saw his heart. God saw Paul. And even though he was that way, God, we know, did a miraculous work through Paul's life. Is it true then? Even those that we may see, that we even think, well, man, maybe there's no hope for this guy. No, there's hope for everyone. We have family members that we pray for, friends that we pray for, and we just sometimes throw our hands up, you know, and just, "What, Lord, I don't know what to do next." Hold out hope. Hold out hope. Paul being one who is after the Christians unto death, but God in his mercy saved Paul. Why is it then that God cannot save our family members who are lost, our friends who are lost? Hold out hope. Continue in hope. God can do a marvelous work. Let's continue. Disobedient to parents. And this disobedient to parents, this act of disobedience to parents, is in direct relation to disobedience to God. If you're disobedient to your parents, or if children are disobedient to their parents, they're disobedient to God. For in Ephesians 6:1, it says that children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So those who are disobedient to parents is a direct disobedience to God himself. Next it says unthankful, unholy. To be unthankful, to have no regard for the kind actions of another. You know, we've witnessed this in people before. My wife and I, one time, Martha and I, we were out, and we were at the grocery store, and we saw this guy that was, he was a homeless guy. He was begging there, and people were giving him money. Well, we were in a store, and we got some additional food, and, you know, we gave it to him. But you know what? He didn't want the food. He wanted the money. So it's like, wow, that heart, how hard his heart was. That this was a person that was unthankful, could not be thankful for the good deeds of someone else. And we're seeing this in society today, these unthankful hearts. Unholy, someone who is unpleasant, no regard for that which is right. And we're seeing this escalation of this attitude of total disregard for that which is right today in our society. Paul was addressing this to Timothy, as he knew this is what was going to be happening in the church age. What was going to be happening? And so he was bringing this to Timothy, that this would be happening, Timothy. Now in verse 3, it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good. Without natural affections, Romans 1 speaks about this, and I would like you to turn there with me. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. So we're a couple of books back. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. God has revealed himself to all. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or divine nature, so that they are without excuse. Everyone is given in nature the view of God and his majesty. Everyone is shown God in all of his majesty. His design, his divine nature is shown. God has clearly shown that to us. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, see, they know God's there. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And so instead of honoring God and glorifying God, they're honoring these idols that they're making with their hands, these sculptures of birds and of various other things. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness or to decay through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed or exchanged the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So men have turned away from who God is and seen who He is and turned to their own devices. They've exchanged the truth with a lie. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change or exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly or shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense or penalty of their error which was meet or which was due. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind and to do those which are not convenient or fitting. And so Paul is writing to Timothy about what is going to happen, and that is that there are going to be times when people are even going to exchange what is natural. Don't we see this prevalent today? SB 48. This has been penned into law by our governor, penned into law about teaching the lifestyle of homosexuality in the churches without you as parents, us as uncles, as aunts, as fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, we have no say. So that's why it's important for us to, you know, sign that petition and encourage others to sign the petition so we can take this and ratify it. We can turn back the wickedness that is coming upon the state of California. God help us in this crime against the children. So the next, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 3. 2 Timothy 3:3. They will become truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, truce breakers. When I looked this up, it was really interesting. Those who it's impossible to reconcile with, impossible to bring true understanding or discussion or dialogue would cease. So, you know, we're taught to reason together. Well, what's going to happen is reason is going to disappear. There's going to be no ability to reason. And we see that happening in our government where it's so polarized left and right, there isn't any discussion anymore. We don't discuss what is good, what is right. There's no discussion anymore. So there'll be truce breakers, false accusers, slanderers, defaming one another. Incontinent, it says, without self-control. We will lose control, fierce, brutal in word and deed. The last one there, despisers of those which are good, despising that which is good. And that's so true. And I think about our country, the United States, And those of you who look at the news, and I watch it quite a bit, and you see what's happening with our country and how we are becoming despised in the world, despising what is good. What has the United States stood for? Well, God had created this perfect nation in the set of rules that He had created for us as we were created through the book of Deuteronomy and the rules of Deuteronomy, and how this was brought into our nation. And we have been a nation that has been used for good. Our free market system has blessed so many people around the world, has blessed each one of us in here. But there are those who are despising that which is good, despising that which God has done. The world is despising this country. Look at verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Traitors, we know, that's betraying trust. So Paul is talking about, you know, hey, be mindful, because there are those who will be, your trust will be betrayed. They will betray you. Heady or headstrong or reckless is another term. Those who will be reckless in their actions, in their activities. High-minded, again, puffed up or proud. And then lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so this list of these 18 items that Paul illustrates to Timothy, this is what is coming, Timothy. Now, he is talking about the apostasy that is coming not outside the church. Paul is talking about what is coming in the church. And so when I studied this, I was saying, well, is this true? This is what Paul was talking about? He's talking about the church. And how do we know that? Let's read verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Then he says, from such turn away. And so he's exhorting Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, hey, there will be those who have a form of godliness. They'll be sitting in the pews right next to you, but yet they'll be denying the power of God Himself, denying the power of the Holy Spirit. They will be right there in the church. This is an unfortunate fact that there are people who will profess to know Jesus but are teaching a different doctrine, or who will believe a different doctrine. And so Paul is exhorting Timothy that, hey, watch, Timothy. Be alert, Timothy. This is going to come into the church. And this list that we read, this in the church? This is going to be in the church age. Well, we can read this and go, wow, you know, I can believe this to be total non-believers. But no, he's talking about the apostasy that is going to come upon the church. Now, people will confess to be followers of Jesus Christ. And there are the religions out there, religiosity. There are those out there who would profess to be Christians, followers of Christ, but teach a different doctrine. Brothers and sisters, we are to be aware of that. We are to be absolutely alert of that. Keep your spiritual ears open. So no matter where we are, whether we're here at church and we hear something, you know, we can bring upon the truth, and we should. We shouldn't just let it go. Be aware and be alert. The sad reality is that these people think they are in the truth, but what's happening is they are looking for truth outside of the Word of God. For if they were searching the Scriptures and searching the truth into the Word of God, then this would not be happening within the church. Let's look at verse 6. For of this sort, they that which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And so Paul is warning Timothy that this doctrine, this false doctrine, will creep into the church, creep into the house. So be aware, Timothy, be alert, Timothy. He's exhorting us that we are to be aware, we are to be alert, that this will come into the house. Jesus spoke about this, and he gave a real strong rebuke to the scribes and the Pharisees, and this is found in Matthew 23, 14. And he says, "Woe, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make these long prayers." And he's telling them, "Woe unto you." Why is he saying that? Because they were abusing or they were taking advantage of those who may have been less fortunate. The scribes and Pharisees were not about the truth, but they were about their system, and they were taking advantage of the less fortunate in the community. Verse 7, ever learning, they will be learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always seeking, there are those who are seeking. My mom and my sister are Jehovah's Witnesses, then they're taught well. Boy, I tell you what, it is difficult to get to them, to get the truth to them, because they are taught well, ever learning. They've learned a doctrine, albeit a false doctrine, but they've learned. But see, they're looking outside of the truth of Scripture, and so their heart yet has not seen the truth of Christ. So we continue to pray for them. You may have family members or friends the same, where you God calls you to speak to them, and it's in one ear and out the other. Keep on keeping on. They may be in a church system and not hearing the truth that you're speaking. Keep speaking the truth. Keep living the truth. You see, by how you live and the godly example that you are, will make an impact. I believe that to be so true. I'll give you an example of that. My wife Martha has been, since we've been married now almost 12 years, we've been praying for her mom. Her mom has been one who has been taught all of these doctrines. She's been taught and she's learned about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormon culture. And, you know, she's been taught out of this Catholicism. And she's had this stew of doctrine. And so whenever Martha would talk to her, it was very difficult to get through her because she would pull from here and pull from here and pull from here. And it never sunk in. But what does God call us to do? He calls us to never give up, to continue to be a light, to be an example to those around us, right? We're to continue. He tells us to be praying always, without ceasing, continue in prayer. Be instant in prayer, always praying. So that's what we did. The words we thought at times, Martha would be in tears because the words were falling on deaf ears. But no, they weren't. I say no, they weren't because just 3 weeks ago when we had our day of prayer, and Martha gave up and came up and gave a testimony about her mom, about how she was just in anguish over the fact that her mom has not accepted the truth yet. But prayer, 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 the example of your life. Martha had just the honor this weekend of seeing her mom come to that point of accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And I believe that is through, yes, and I believe that is through the power, the hope that Martha had for his mom, believing the Word of God, that God promises that His words will not fall void. Here's a neat thing. You know, the Scripture talks about, be careful who you entertain because you may entertain an angel unaware. Well, Martha, 3 weeks ago, was at Walmart. They were doing something with prescriptions or whatever. And Martha was off to the side, and her mom was sitting there. Now, this was before she accepted Jesus. And this lady comes up to Martha's mom, and Martha's mom doesn't speak much English. It's all Spanish. This heavy-set, big white lady, Martha calls her, comes up to her mom and starts speaking fluent Spanish to her. And you know what she says to her? She says to her, "Stop being disobedient to God." And it's like, whoa. And Martha's hearing this like, she's saying that to my mom? And so 45 minutes, this lady, which we believe was an angel, now the words that she spoke touched Martha's mom's heart, Martha's words to her mom, all this together. See, God's word is not void. It comes back and returns back, and we've seen her mom come to salvation, so we praise the Lord for that. Let's look at verse 8. Now, as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, what Paul is referring to is these two men were actually two of the sorcerers or the magicians that were in the court when Moses and Aaron were to go before Pharaoh and give the decree to let my people go. Well, they went in there, and God told Aaron to throw down your staff, throw down your rod. So Aaron obeyed God and threw down his rod, and it turned into a serpent. Well, these guys came in, and they threw down their two rods, and their two rods turned into serpents. Well, what did God do? God took Aaron's rod and ate up those two rods. The word says that he swallowed them up. So God's showing that he is all-powerful. Even though this counterfeit magical act was taking place, God will not be outdone. And what they did, and the scripture says, what they did, what they were doing shall not proceed no further, and it will become to folly. So what they're doing in their counterfeit, the counterfeit Christianity that we see out there, the counterfeit word that we see out there, those who are spreading lies, spreading incorrect doctrine, it's going to fall to folly. The truth will stand. The truth will always stand. Now in verse 9, Paul again, and he encourages us, and he speaks about that truth. John, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in verse 36, he says, "If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." You see, the truth will stand. The truth will stand. So it's for us to remain in the truth, to be seeking and searching out the truth. Verse 10. Now, Paul now is going to give an example of himself, and he brings what has happened in his life as he brings this forward to Timothy. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity or love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now Paul is exhorting Timothy to remember knowing the doctrine that he had been taught, knowing the manner of life of Paul. So he's reminding Timothy, remember what has happened. Remember my life. Remember that I was a blasphemer. Remember I was one who was against God. Remember what God has done. Remember my doctrine, Timothy, that I have taught you. I have taught you the scriptures. I have taught you that which will save. Remember my faith. Remember my long suffering, my purpose, Timothy. Remember them, Timothy. So we are being exhorted to also remember the doctrine, remember that the manner of life in which the example that Paul gives, remember that in our lives, his charity, his patience, his persecutions. That man was thrown in jail, he was beaten. He had gone through a tremendous amount. And he says, "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Are you in a storm right now? Are you in one of those times in your life where you're like, I don't know. Can I hang on any longer? Yes, you can. Will the Lord deliver you? Yes, he will. Will it be here and now? Maybe not. It may not be till that time when you see him face to face in glory. He may be asking you, "Hold on, my child. Have faith. trust, remember, walk in love, walk in purpose. And in verse 13, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So again, to back up, as Paul is writing about the church, remember that there will be those who will wax worse and worse. The lie will become greater and greater. The deception will become greater and greater. So for us, we need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to understand that that is what is coming. Paul describes what is coming. Paul describes that there is this great apostasy, this lie, this deception that is coming upon the church. But you know what? When opposition increases against the church, when the church is in Christ, in our strength, the truth also will be manifested in each one of us and will also be brought to light. And will, just as we saw, we know that Aaron's staff, which turned into a serpent, how it devoured the other two serpents. God will not be mocked. God will prevail. Look at verse 14. And now Paul is going to exhort Timothy and us, give an exhortation about the sound scripture and doctrine that we are to rely on. He says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Paul gives Timothy this exhortation to remember the sound doctrine and to continue in the sound doctrine and the reliance on God. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, Paul in writing says, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. In other words, Paul is saying, by sound doctrine, by staying in the Word, we may be able to convince the gainsayer or convince those who are in opposition to us, those who don't believe the truth. So just continue. Continue. When you don't know what to do next, what do? Continue. Continue in the Word. Staying in the Word. Seeking again for the truth in the Word. As others may be seeking outside the truth, we need to stay in the Word and stay in the truth. And Paul says in the second part of this verse, knowing of whom you have learned from. Paul again uses himself as the example, as he was teaching Timothy. But Timothy wasn't only taught by Paul. Paul was taught through the Old Testament word, through his mom and through his grandmother. And so he was taught well. And then Timothy, taught by Paul. Remember what you have been taught and who you have been taught from. Verse 15, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy being raised as a child in the Scriptures, and he tells him to hold on to the Holy Scriptures because it is able to make you wise unto salvation. It's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Psalm 119. And I want to look at this as we speak about the Word and how Paul is exhorting Timothy to stay in the Word. Now, you remember what you were taught. Remember my example, Timothy. And he always is pointing back to the Word. And so I want to read a little bit in Psalm 119, starting at verse 97. Psalm 119, starting at verse 97. As the psalmist is writing about the Word, and the impact the Word of God has on his life. He says in verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day, though through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients or the aged, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So first and foremost, he is saying how he loves thy law. The psalmist is writing how he loves the word of God, how it is his meditation, and how he meditates on it day and night. Joshua was told before the reins were given over to him from Moses, he was told to meditate on the word day and night. He was told to be strong and of good courage. Actually, God told Moses, teach him courage and teach him strength, because he's going to need it. Then he goes on to say that thy law, thy word, is my meditation, and I meditate on it day and night. Joshua was strong in the Lord. He was courageous. He was a man of faith, a man in the word. Let us stay in the word. Let us be driven to be taught by the word of God. All truth is here. We don't need to go anywhere else. Let's look at verse 16 again of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So again, there isn't anywhere else we need to go. The truth is in the scriptures. All is found in the scriptures. And it says, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. And I love this, and I want to drill down this real quick. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we know that that literally means God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. So everyone who wrote in the written word, every word was God breathed. It's every word is perfect. And I like this. It says it's good. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, sound instruction. So it's good for sound instruction. It's good for reproof. Instruments of conviction. So it's good to instruct us, and then from that instruction, it will bring upon a conviction. Those areas in our lives that we're off center, where we're sinning, we'll see and we'll be convicted. And then it's used for correction or improvement. So the sound instruction then shows us where we're wrong, and now we're able to take those areas where we're wrong and correct those areas or improve upon those areas of our lives. And then I like this, instruction in righteousness, that we will be trained or educated in right living. See, that's why there is an apostasy in the church today, because there are those who don't want to hear or heed what the Word of God has to say. It tells us how to live and how not to live. It tells us what to do and what not to do. And man in his sin nature doesn't want to be told what to do or what not to do. It may be different than what man feels, and so it's like, well, this is just not comfortable for me. That's right. The Word of God is not always comfortable. But we read here in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to instruct us, the doctrine, to convict us, to reprove us, to improve us, the correction, and to train us in right living, instruction in righteousness. So God's inspired word, properly used and applied in our lives, will help us then to be the godly example that we need to be. in today, as Paul wrote in the first verse, he says, "This know always, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And if any of you guys read the news, you know that things are getting tough. Look at the economy. Look at the governing world systems. Look at the weather patterns. Look at everything that's going on, the earthquakes and in diverse, strange places. Just look at what's going on. We understand that we are living in the end times, and so we are being exhorted, be in your word, that it might be used to instruct you, to correct you, to convict you, and to teach you in right living. That we, this body, we would not allow or even invite into our own lives that which is wrong, that which is a lie, that we wouldn't be subjected ourselves, we wouldn't subject ourselves to that and then buy into some of the lie that's out there. Be in your word. And what do we do? Now we're exhorted by Paul also this way. Turn to just one chapter forward to chapter 2, verse 15. This is really the advice from Paul in our personal conduct in our relationship and what it is that we are to do. And he says, study or be diligent to show or to present yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the American Standard Version, it says, give diligence to present yourself approved unto God. Give diligence. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth, that we're able to yield our sword rightly, that we're able to use our sword properly. In your quiet time, read Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18 again, and putting on the armor. What you're facing every day, it's not a battle against the flesh. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. We know the battle is not carnal, it is spiritual. And the only way that we're going to wage this war is with our sword, with the Spirit of God. So let us close and just simply by saying, give diligence to God. Give all that you have. If you need to rearrange your schedule and spend more time with the Lord, brothers and sisters, do so. If there are activities in your life that is crowding out a time with Him, change them. Remove them. I was so blessed last night when I was working the end of my study here, and Martha was on the bed and she's doing her study for Joyful Life, and how blessed I was that we were both just in the Word of God. No TV, no video games, no this, no that. It was just sitting preciously, studying the Word of God. So our exhortation to be found in the Word, study yourself approved unto God, that you will not be ashamed, and you will be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. Let's pray. Father, we want to be that way, Lord. God, forgive us, Lord, of our times and our moments, Lord, where we lapse and we relax and we're not so diligent. And so forgive us of that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that even now that you would cause each of us to be stirred, Lord, to find in our schedules, Lord, those areas where we can just put away and give time to you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your words from Paul, Lord, showing us the negative impact of one whose eyes are upon themselves and the ugliness and the negative aspects of that, Lord. And then showing, Lord, that which who is that which is before God searching you, Lord, and searching your truth and the difference between the two, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Pray, Lord, that you would bring traveling mercies as we head on home this evening, Lord. We thank you again for this time in your word, Lord. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So may you have peace as you go home, and may he give you rest, and may his face truly shine upon you. May you be a light unto those around you. Keep on keeping on. Be diligent in the word. Keep on. Keep on. Stay in the battle. Stay in the fight. The Lord will prevail. Peace be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.